Thank you.
Well, good evening. I want to, first of all, compliment you guys on inviting a life coach slash psychologist in to talk to a group of business people. You could have, you know, business experts come in and talk, and but it shows something about you that you'd invite someone to come in who's caring more for your spirit or your soul or emotions. And Patrick Lencioni is one of my favorite business consultants and writers, and he talks about the thing that sets apart your business compared to others. If you really want to do something to set yourself apart, make yourself a healthy organization. You have the biggest chance of setting yourself apart and even affecting your bottom line by making yourself a healthy organization. And so I think what you're doing here is not just an investment in yourself, but also hopefully an investment in your business and in the bottom line of your business. The healthier you are, most often the healthier your organization is going to be and the healthier your bottom line is going to be. So I just want to compliment you on that. My voice is just barely hanging in there. So can you guys hear me okay at this point? Okay. I'm flipping this session and the last session tomorrow, mostly because tomorrow, the last session, was supposed to have more homework, more work. This is a workshop, right? So I'm going to talk less, and hopefully my voice will be a little bit better tomorrow. So what you're getting in front of you there is something we call a life balance wheel. And we're going to spend a little time going through that, and I'm going to have you do some work. Again, my hope in this is that this is not just something where you take in information, but that you leave here having done enough action steps that you're ready to go out from this conference with some changes in mind. And so we're going to spend some time working on this, and I'll explain it more to you. But it's made up of different parts of you, and it's probably important just to make that point, that you're made up of different parts. You know that, right? And all these parts are different, but they're integrated with each other, and they affect each other. And so this has a way of identifying different parts from your career, business as a part of your life, as well as family and friends, your community, your finances, your romance, your intimacy, health, physical health, social fun, spiritual development, and then your environment around you, the physical environment around you all. And you could tweak this, add something, take something away. But this is one way for us to talk about just overall this. We're in the context of balance. This is one way to get a sense of how balanced you are. And in a little bit here, I'm going to have you give yourself a rating on each of these areas. And it's a way, again, kind of an assessment. But before I do that, there's a couple things that I want to just say. There's a verse on the bottom of this form that means a great deal to me. Because it says to me that God cares deeply about our lives, every part of our lives, and making our lives whole. That's the kind of God we serve. And so 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says this: May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. So we have a God whose desire is to make you holy and whole. That's what he wants, every part of you, holy and whole. And part of the work we're doing this weekend is in that regard, is to help us become holy and whole. And that would be one of my prayers coming out of this, is that something about this would help move you in that direction in your life, because God cares that much about us. That's what he wants to see happen in our lives. And it's not just that he cares about us, but he cares about you having an impact in the world. And this is, I just want to take a moment to remind us that the part of the goal of being holy and whole or balanced in our life is so that we have the space to love and care about other people. That we have the space to see the needs around us. We have the space to be a part of kingdom living. And that's hugely important. I love in Matthew 5:13 and 16 the way the Message version talks about your purpose, our purpose being here on this earth. This is Jesus talking. It says this: Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and wound up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to be open with God, this generous Father in heaven. So I just want to remind you, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit like I would talk to my church, because I really see you in that way. In fact, one of the questions I'll sometimes ask church, I'll say, how many of you guys here are currently or have been missionaries at some point in your life? Would you raise your hand? Okay, now my church knows that if I ask that, every single person in the audience is supposed to raise their hands, unless they're new, and then they're kind of caught off guard. Because the truth is, we've kind of redefined missions to be something that happens way far away overseas. And we do, it's helpful to distinguish people who have invested their lives in a different kind of way in missions. But the truth is, all of us have been given a mission. All of us are to be involved in that great commission. And so one of the things that, here's the verse I just read. One of the things that we talk about at church, and I think this applies to you guys as well, I'll talk to the church about how sometimes we approach church as though we're going on a cruise ship. If you're going on a cruise ship, what do you expect?
Have fun.
Have fun. What else?
Good times.
Get fat.
Pampering.
Be served. What is expected of you?
Nothing.
Get fat. Eat well, right? And quite often we approach our Christian faith that we approach a church that way. We see ourselves as, okay, I'm looking for the cruise ship that will serve the best coffee, have the best entertainment, someplace where I'm going to be taking the staff of a church cruise ship is there to take care of you, to meet your needs, to meet your expectations. And that's kind of how we approach church in many ways. Another image is this, and this is how we talk about what we want to be as a church, that a cruise ship is very different. If you're someone who's boarding a cruise ship, what are you doing there? I mean, you're a part of some kind of mission, right? And on a cruise ship, on an aircraft carrier, I keep saying cruise ship, aircraft carrier is very different. Everyone has different roles on an aircraft carrier, but they have the same mission. There's some kind of mission that they've just been sent to accomplish. And everyone knows their specific role, but it's to serve that larger mission. And if that's the way you kind of show up to church, you're showing up at church, you're landing, you're getting repaired, you're getting fixed, you're getting refueled, and you leave the church on a mission. You're like those individual planes that go out and are doing something to accomplish kingdom work. So the military image doesn't always work for everybody, but I love the idea of the mission behind this, the aircraft carrier. It's singularly focused on a mission, and everybody on board knows what that is, and they're not there. I mean, if you think of people, again, who show up on a cruise ship, it's like, man, nothing really is required of me. But I see you guys just like I would see a church. You come in these doors, and you're sitting here, and you kind of landed on this flight deck, and you're getting some stuff that I hope refuels you. But you walk out this door, and you go to the business. You guys are in position to be some of the most impactful missionaries in the world. In your businesses. I've noticed going from my counseling practice to a pastor, I have way less interaction with people who need Jesus now than I did before. Does that make sense? I mean, I rub shoulders with non-Christians who are hungry to hear about God way more as a psychologist than as a pastor. And so don't take for granted the role that you guys have. Self-care is really important, but it is there in many respects to make you forget about yourselves so that you have room and capacity to care for those around you and see the needs of those around you. So I just want to encourage you in that way. To me, I love this image and to think of yourselves that way, that you guys, you're out there in the world and you have a mission. Find out what that mission is. And every day when you walk out, I tell our staff all the time at church, every morning you wake up, you should look in the mirror and say, today I'm going to change the world. Today I'm going to do something to change the world. That's your mission. God doesn't here just to save us and give us a ticket to go to heaven, but he's about world transformation and transforming, healing, and restoring the world and people's lives around us. And that's the mission that we sign up for when we sign up to follow him. And so I hope that encourages you in your work and your business. I really do have so much respect for the impact that you guys can have in the world through your businesses. All right, so we're going to... I'm going to talk to you about this life balance, Will, and we're going to do some homework on this tonight. You see on there those different areas, and then there's numbers, and each dotted line is worth two numbers. And what you're supposed to do is kind of put a check and give yourself a rating in each one of those areas. And let me explain how you think about this. I'm going to take finances as an example. The question is, how fulfilled do you feel in that area of your life? And so, again, this goes back to values. Think of it that way. God may call some of you to live in poverty in India. And if you're doing that, you should feel completely fulfilled with nothing. It'd be a 10, right? Some of you, God may call to accumulate wealth in such a way to really bless people through that. So it's not about how much money do I have. How am I compared to someone else? It's given where God has called me, how satisfied and fulfilled am I in that area of my life? Physical health. You know, you may not be in the greatest shape in the world, but if you feel satisfied with where you're at, that's great. You're not comparing yourself to someone else. So does that make sense? I want to make sure you understand this is not a comparative thing and say, well, I'm not in as good a shape as him, so I must be a lower score. It's how satisfied, how fulfilled do you feel in these different areas in your life? So, I'm going to give you some time just to go through that, make a check, and then on the bottom, you can also write the number down that's associated with that area, if that makes sense. Everybody, does anyone need a copy? Everyone has a copy? Okay, I'm going to give you a couple minutes to do that. If you're sitting here with your spouse, this would be a great time just to even work together on something like this and talk about it together. But take a few minutes and rate that, and then what I'd like you to do is on the wheel, make a little dot or X, and then connect the dots. Part of what we say in life coaching is that when you have a fulfilled life, you'll have a big, fat, round wheel. Does that make sense? The more jagged that is, or the smaller it is, the more there's work to do in life fulfillment. So as you identify those areas, it'll help you see kind of the areas, the ebb and flow of where you have fulfillment right now in your life. So go ahead and take a couple minutes to do that. So I think we'll start over here on this side. And I've got a mic, and we'll let you just give us your top five list. And you may want to have your notepad ready, because we're going to get lots of wisdom, I think, from each of these groups. So
picking on me.
Picking on you to start with here, if you want to.
Okay, I only have four, so I'll make the fifth one up. It's buy a Jeep. Well, not seriously, but I don't actually have three. The fourth one's made up. It's shave head. It's a lot less stressful.
Amen.
Okay, for reality. And that is exactly what it was. Accept reality. Life is life. Accept that it is reality. Next one is accountable to someone wiser. As achieving a life balance. And then the other one is take time to evaluate where you're at, where you're going.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. What we came up with is initially self-examination. Stop and look at yourself and see the area that's out of balance. Two, find a mentor / life coach / significant other that will be honest with you and assess you honestly, because sometimes you have blind spots and you can't see what maybe is out of balance. Three is create an action plan towards taking care of whatever area is out of balance. Four, act on the plan and evaluate progress and update. And then five, be accountable to that.
Okay. All right, very good. Very good. Let's go back here. Are you guys one big group? Kind of cheated a little bit. Who's?
Some of the same themes. One, meet with someone regularly. just to check in for accountability on these areas. That's interesting. A good story was told, and the sum of it was, do everything you know to do that day. Do it that day. Be sensitive to the Spirit's prompting, and that kind of goes along with number two, actually. And that was it, except as their group was breaking up, somebody said, shut off cell phones.
How about this group over here? Who's my spokesperson?
We have five, two or three were already mentioned. The first is making sure we have our personal Jesus time. We think that's kind of the foundation from where we draw the energy and the insight for the day. And along with that is just being able to sense the Holy Spirit's part in our life and give us direction and give us a caution when we need it. And the accountability, giving someone permission that sees us and says, you know, I love you, brother, and I'm seeing some things that concern me. So if you give them that permission so they can come and help you see, as I said earlier, what we can't often see ourselves. And then making sure we do identify our value system before we start, and maybe even prioritizing those. Because one thing I heard a while back that stuck with me is kind of that connects with that is not letting the good things in life rob us of the best things in life. And then paying attention to the warning signs. Like you mentioned yesterday, you know, if you're irritable or you can't sleep or if your body is falling apart, it's probably something that we shouldn't ignore.
Very good. I can tell this is a humble group because all of you are aware that we don't see ourselves always accurately. We need help seeing ourselves. Okay, who in this? Here we go.
Okay, top five. Keep the Sabbath. If you can't keep the Sabbath, do take a day of rest. Get to know the Father. Take time for self and not feel guilty about it. Relax. Serve others. Count your blessings.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Here we go.
Learn to say no. Prioritize pursuing God. Develop distinct lines or boundaries between work, relaxation, and family time. And then our last one was learn to have downtime and be silent so you can hear God speak.
Amen. Thank you. I heard somebody talk about their drive to and from work where they, they kind of had this marker about halfway where as they were driving home, they would think about work until they got to that halfway point, and then they would start thinking about home. And on the way, it was the opposite. They'd pray for their family. They got to this halfway point, and then they'd start thinking about. There's something about boundaries and transitions that help us be present with wherever we're at. All right, where are we at over here on this side?
Well, we had prayer as being one, that it would change perspective on situations. Living by godly principles, things like living by Proverbs or the wisdom there or Sabbath. Learning to say no, creating space to think or to, just be in silence. And then a really fun one is just to have fun, find joy.
All right. I read at one point there was a guy who was getting depressed. And the more depressed he got, the more he had people come up and say, man, you seem like you're maturing as a Christian. And he was just making the observation that, you know, he just was getting more serious and depressed. And sometimes we don't know how to have fun as Christians. But fun, we should be known for having fun.
All right, learn how to say no. Listen to each other or to your spouse or people close to you if you're not, don't have a significant other, you know, trusted advisors, listen to their counsel. Slow down, rest, figure out where you're at, where you want to go, set goals that are realistic. And then sometimes we're built in such a way that as humans that sometimes we can't change ourselves, and so trust God to put people in our lives or to empower us to change what we can't change in our own effort.
Okay. Thank you. Is that everybody over here? You have one back here? Okay. Can you hand that back there for me?
Well, we said the first thing that you have to do is to invest in your relationship with God. And then some of the other things that we said were put the phone down, find and decide on your values, and be intentional about focusing on and looking at the balance in my life right now and reevaluate that from time to time, and to surround ourselves with positive influences and evaluate the friendships in our lives.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Who gets the mic over here? All right.
Okay, the first one, you have mentors to hold yourself accountable. connect and communicate with peers, family, spouse, friends, to delegate to people. Delegate to people you can trust. Surround yourself with good people. Value relationships. Know how you and your individual values relate to God. And make a written plan to follow an action plan.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Someone else over here.
Okay. The first one is have the faith to believe that life balance is achievable.
That's a big one right there, isn't it?
One is be deliberate about planning time for reflecting on the balance in your life. Third one is to ask someone close to you to look at the evaluation, sort of see your own blind spots. Tony had a great illustrative story, which the moral was make sure that you're fixing the right problem. And the last one might have been done for brownie points, but hire a life coach.
There you go. All right. Is there any other? Okay, thank you. You're it.
The one I mentioned was have a life mission statement. We know that if without a vision, the people perish. So if we have a life mission statement, then we can kind of discern what to say yes, no, and what to say no to. It's going to take us off mission. And then a simple tool for that is the 80-20 rule. So kind of 80% of the, you know, things that you say yes to should hopefully kind of reinforce that mission statement.
Okay.
I knew I couldn't say that if that was him. So we also said be flexible, be willing to change with whatever needs comes along. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't worry about what you can't change. Spend time every day in prayer and Bible reading. Make God a priority. And then you run the business and don't let the business run you.
Excellent. All right. Why don't you give yourselves a hand for your... I'm serious, dude. That was not a very heartfelt hand you gave yourselves. It's even worse. There you go. I'm impressed. I do think one of the best things we can do is just listen to each other. I mean, there's ways in which just hearing each other's life experience and learning from each other can be a really helpful way in gaining some of that balance that we're looking for in life. And so that exercise, just asking people, how do you do this? What are some ways that you... I remember early on in our marriage, we were going around in a circle like that, and the question was, I don't know if it was about life balance or not, but it's helped us with balance. One couple said, we mate our schedules every Sunday evening. And I was like, mate your schedules. And they were just talking about how they sit down and they mate their schedules for the week and make sure it lines up. It was a simple thing, but you know, for Beth and I early in our marriage, it was just a very helpful thing to keep in mind as a way of relieving stress and make sure we're on the same page. So sometimes it's just little things that you get along the way that really does help you with this whole life balance pace. A couple that I just would recommend you guys do, I don't know how many of you take any kind of annual retreat where you just go away, maybe it's yourself or your spouse, and just spend some time reflecting on your life and your priorities. I'd highly recommend that you do that, and that you, as a way of once a year just going away and evaluating your busyness, evaluating the priorities on your plate. The, you know, some of you may be involved in on boards and involved with nonprofits, in church, different ministry responsibility, coaching Little League. I mean, the list can go on and on. But to stop and make a list of those things and say, are these really the reflection of the priorities I want? Life changes. Priorities change. And to take once a year and just step away and do some evaluation of that. Finding ways of just getting renewed. You know, one of the questions I'd ask was about feeling fully alive. It'd be interesting sometimes just to sit down and ask yourself, what makes me feel most alive? What are things I do that just make me feel most alive? And make sure that you schedule those things into your life. And that can be anything from hobbies to serving, but or socializing. There's different things that will make you feel alive, but to make sure that you have times where you not just Sabbath in the sense of don't work on Sunday, but the Sabbath in the sense of unplugging from things that are draining for you. One of the common ones that you guys mentioned was saying no. And my experience, especially working with conservative Mennonite folks, being one myself growing up, is we're very good servants. Big hearts. We love to serve, which often means it's hard to say no. We don't want to say no. And so learning how to say no can be one of the biggest factors for you in achieving life balance, knowing when to say no. And often we don't like to disappoint other people or let other people down. And so being able to wrestle with that and know when to say no. And that's a good time to pull someone else in. For some of us, our radar is broken when it comes to when we should say no. And so being able to ask someone else, what do you think about this? I'd encourage you guys sometimes to monitor your presence with people. Like, think about how present am I? And those of you who have kids at home, one simple way, or even with your spouse, is how much eye contact do you make with them? Think about your interactions with your kids, with your spouse. The busier you are, the less likely you are to have eye contact. And so how would you evaluate your eye contact with your grandkids, you know, with your kids, with your spouse, with your coworkers? Eye contact is one of those subtle ways to see how busy we are. And you guys mentioned this too, but the ability to step back and evaluate is just really important, because as we're busy, we just don't have time to do that. And so creating space and building that into your schedule, making sure that you have space to be able to sit back and evaluate how things are going in your life, your relationships, and things like that. There's a lot more, and there's a lot more around technology that I'd encourage you to think about as well, just practical things, finding ways to disconnect from, you know, your smartphones and other devices like that. There's, I think it's May, the first week of May, there's a national turn off your TV week or something like that. Especially if you have families, that's a great way just to, hey, jump in. This is a national thing, kids. We're going to do it. And find ways to do those kinds of things. Take fasts from Facebook. Take fasts from other social media, especially outside of work, and find ways to do that. For me, always trying to stretch myself in some way helps me achieve balance, if that makes sense. So the one book I would recommend is called Seven. It's by Jen Hatmaker, and I forget the subtitle. It's kind of fighting against excess. It's pretty extreme. So if you take this on, you ought to email me and tell me how it went. But I'll give you an example. It's 7 months of fighting against excess in our life and recognizing how much excess we have. So the first month is like you can eat 7 foods and that's it, because you know around the world people don't have 50,000 food choices. Many of them don't. So you pick 7 foods and that's all you eat for the month. 1 month, 7 articles of clothing is all you get to wear for the month. A funny side note, we did this as a family back when conference was at our church. And we happened to be going through this, and it about killed my wife, because she showed up at conference every day wearing the exact same outfit. And she likes to dress well. So, but there's different, each month there's a challenge like that that stretches us, but it helps us understand. Give away 7 things a day for a month. That seems like a lot of things, but it's amazing. It just has a way of helping us recognize how much we're consumers and how much stuff we have It opens our eyes in some ways. So, and then another area that's been helpful for us as a family is just even we spent some time in Haiti as a family, going overseas, spending some time in other cultures where we can see the blessings that we have. And I think especially for kids, that's eye-opening to broaden their world and to see what the rest of the world is like. Okay, well, thank you for your work and your participation tonight and for you putting up with my voice. Look forward to the rest of the evening here together and our final session tomorrow. Thank you.